Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. In North America, where I am, the festival called Lugnasa, which celebrates the harvest of grains, is often focused on corn. But the traditional lore talks of barley corn. Barley corn is a grain of barley, one of the oldest cultivated grains. When we gather on Zoom for Lugnasa ritual on August 2nd, I'll be sharing a song about John Barleycorn and the significance of his legend to the agricultural cycle. I hope you will join us. Please check the show notes for a link to the event. There's rarely good news about the climate, but this week has been one of the worst in a while. The gist of it is that we aren't going to make it. What I'm hearing is it's too late to stop the planet from crossing thresholds that are points of no return. The changes we have to make now have to do with how we adapt if we want to survive the climate crisis, and we will have no choice. If you don't know, wildlife and the preservation of the magic of biodiversity is near and dear to me. So one bit of news I found particularly distressing was how a wildlife rehabilitation center in Arizona called Liberty Wildlife is receiving record numbers of intakes due to the extreme heat most of the southern half of the United States is experiencing. It has been over 110 degrees Fahrenheit, that's 38 degrees Celsius, for nearly a month. Arizona Fish and Game is taking water out into the desert to fill man-made watering holes for the animals, an effort that is mostly funded by private donations because they've already exceeded their state agency budget for it. The wildlife rehabilitators and the agency employees are scrambling to save the region's biodiversity, while those they can't help just have to struggle to survive. Ecosystems may start to collapse. It's bad for humans, too, to be exposed to such high temperatures. Unfortunately, the way we're adapting is to run fans and air conditioners, or maybe even doing what I do when it gets too uncomfortable in my not air conditioned house, and driving around for a while with the air conditioner on. All that means is that we're requiring more electricity generated from the fossil fuels that are contributing to the problem. Ecologists call that a positive feedback loop. More heat leads to more fossil fuel consumption, leads to more heat. The number of positive feedback loops at play just keeps growing. Our adaptations are unjust, too. Wildlife suffers, but so do humans who can't afford air-conditioned houses or vacations someplace cooler. Like the more-than-human animals, they're going to suffer and die without assistance. Not only do we as individuals need to adapt to a changing climate, but we need a new perspective on what it means to be part of a community. My dear friend Sherry joined me for this episode to talk about red raspberry. I learned a lot from her, and you'll want to keep listening to hear what she has to say. But after reading about the Wildlife Center, things started to come together in my head. We are being called to be more like red raspberry. Protective, cooling, renewing. We need to sharpen our thorns, but in a compassionate, feminine way. For some of us, being a healer means shielding and nurturing those more vulnerable as the world around us becomes less hospitable. A couple of months ago, I stepped in to co-lead Citizens Climate Lobby's National Wildlife Action Team after almost a year of inactivity after the former leader stepped away. CCL wanted to shut down the team, but a few of us fought to keep it going because we thought it was too important to let it drop. Wildlife conservation groups study and point out the effects of climate change on the animals, but when it comes to lobbying for climate solutions, they tend to put humans first. We want to make sure that the national leadership and the local chapters of CCL take wildlife into consideration when deciding what policy suggestions to bring to politicians, and to make sure Citizens Climate Lobby members are educated about all the negative impacts of both the climate crisis and potential human responses on those who don't have a voice or a vote. That's me trying to be like Red Raspberry. I'll drop more info about the Wildlife Action Team in the show notes if you're curious about how you might get involved. And with that, I'd like to introduce Sherry Kurtikel, who is going to be a podcast guest the fourth Friday of every month. Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry is also studying clinical herbalism with an emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine using Western herbs at the East-West School of Planetary Herbalism. She is an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products coming out under Glitter Witch Gardens. Sherry and I have been friends for a long time.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
I'm so glad that you are here today. And I've been talking about change for this month, and you wanted to bring in an herb that we really need to change our perspective on.
Well, let me start by saying thank you so much for having me. And yes, this month I'm focusing on the American red raspberry. Now, oftentimes when we think of raspberries, we think of those sweet little fruits that we find in the grocery store. But when you run across them outside, they're usually these thorny, thick, brambly bushes. And I like this particular plant because it is a medicinal herb. And it is an herb, a woman's herb, which I'll explain in a little bit. But oftentimes women, when they are strong and assertive, are seen as sharp and brambly and bristly. But when actually they offer fruit, we provide offspring and fruit of the world, and we offer protection, and we are strong, and we can be bristly, but we are bristly so that we can offer that protection. So I'd like to start with a little poem that I wrote about the raspberry, and there's a couple of terms in there. One is a Chinese name for the plant, and one is the Latin name for the plant. So when you hear it, that's what that is. American red raspberry, you're native in the States. For luscious berry treasures, we longingly await. A thorny bush of shelter, you motherly provide. Small plant and animal protection, under and inside. When birthing a baby, Fupenzi leaf tea will aid in and shorten a mother's delivery. Dried Rubia strigosus leaves smell like black tea. There's no nervous jitter because you're free from caffeine. You're sweet, dry, and astringent, and slightly cooling too. Your dark green top leaves with an under silver hue. Beyond the sweet berries that we so love to eat, the birds, bees, and butterflies find your flowers quite sweet. If your USDA plant zone is 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, these shrubs are deer resistant. Isn't that great? They provide so much love and they're easy to grow. So find a sunny spot and plant a hedgerow. So we call it a woman's herb because it does offer a lot of womanly support. It holds a special place for women. It's nurturing to all stages of the feminine moon cycles, maiden, mother, and crone. So also in my dealings with my business, Victim's Voice, a lot of times people in abusive situations have lost that sense of trust, have lost that sense of control. And raspberry can guide you back to your own sense of self-trust. So I do have on my website a recipe for a simple tea that people can make using raspberry leaves. When you pick raspberry leaf, you'll notice that it's really dark green on the top and it's silver underneath. So that's reflective of the change. And when you smell raspberry leaves, they don't really have any odor themselves. But once you dry them and grind them up, put them in a glass jar after you make sure they're plenty dry, and then open that jar later and smell, and you'll swear you put black tea in there. It smells just like black tea. When you make a cup of tea out of the raspberry leaves, though, if you would have a cup of black tea and you drink it, oftentimes you'll find the scratchiness in the back of your throat. That's the tannins kind of leaving that aftertaste in the back of your throat. But with red raspberry, there is none of that. It's very gentle and very soothing. It also helps with pregnant women closer to the end of their term of pregnancy, and it helps shorten the span of giving birth. So for someone like me who went through hours and hours and hours of childbirth, raspberry tea, I wish I had known about it earlier. So it is very relaxing. One of the nice things about the brambles, and they do grow in brambles. And so when you first plant raspberry the first year, it won't produce any fruit. It needs that second year to produce those almost woody-like stalks. And those woody stalks are what you're going to get the offshoots that provide the berries. But as those offshoots die back, there's new ones coming forth. So there's constantly rebirth going on in these brambles. And they also offer protection because they are thorny and they do hurt if you run into them. And they are very protective. But they also play nice in the same garden with roses. So a nice idea would around, say, if you have a fence on the outside of your house, you can plant roses intermixed with raspberries. And American raspberries, there's the American red raspberry, and then there's the black raspberry. So you can kind of mix and mingle. American red raspberry is native to the US. And there is a European version of the red raspberry as well. The European version has kind of been naturalized in the US. And what I mean by that is it's been introduced to the US and it's very common now in the US, but it's not an invasive species that will take over and cause other species to not be able to flourish at the same time. So that's a differentiation between being a native species and a naturalized species. A lot of larger animals use these as protection as well. So you might think of coyotes, fox that have dens. Oftentimes their dens will be behind a raspberry bramble because it offers such great protection. Then there's the pollinators, the butterflies and the bees, of course, love the flowers. And then the berries are favorites for bears and skunks as well as humans. But as I mentioned in the poem, it's a great plant to plant around the border of your house and your gardens because it's deer resistant. So it creates that barrier and it also allows you to grow nice stuff inside while being protected because the brambles will keep the deer at bay. Most people think of raspberries as having berries, but it's not actually a fruit. It's not actually a true single berry, but what's called a drupe. And it's multiple drupes that kind of connect themselves around and make this hollow little fruit, as we refer to it, that is around the hop. So it's almost like a rose hop, rose hip, I'm sorry. And the raspberry fits over top of that hip. And so when you get them at the store, all you see is this hollow little berry that's inside, which is kind of cool. They are slightly astringent. So if you eat them, especially when they're a little underripe, they will tart your mouth. So that's that astringent factor. And when you're working with the leaves, as you're pulling the leaves off the branches to dry them, you'll notice that your fingers kind of get a little dry. And so you wash your hands and you'll put some lotion on your hands. It also, some of the Western actions, the Western herbal actions it's an antioxidant. So it can help protect your body. It's an anti-inflammatory, which is a great tea. And again, when you're giving childbirth and you are speeding up the process, but it also helps inhibit some of the extra bleeding that takes place after childbirth, especially around, you know, so many women, young women, especially they hear of childbirth, but then the great awakening is, oh, there's an afterbirth. And there's a lot of blood related to that. So this can be very helpful in supporting your body in, you know, hanging on to some of that blood. And then it's also an emmenagogue, which is herbs that stimulate blood flow in the pelvic area and the uterus. And for women who really struggle with menstruation, being regular for menstruation, it can stimulate that menstruation as well. It grows in a good chunk of the U.S., zones four through, what did I say, zones four through nine. That's a large portion of the United States. I'm sorry, zones four through eight. That's a good chunk of the U.S. that can be planting these brambles. And they're very attractive. You see these, you know, green, silver leaves. And when they first emerge, they come out with a little bit of orange and red hue to them on the top. So they're not unattractive bushes or brambles at all. You will need to keep check on them, as they can go a little outside of where you intended to plant them. But like any plant, you just need to kind of stay on top of it. The berries can be used to create also a simple love potion. So if you're looking to bring a little love to your life, and, you know, when I say a love potion, that's not putting a love potion on someone else, that's encouraging more love to come into your own life. And I think women are very receptive to that, being that womanly herb. Some of the symbolism associated with red raspberry is the moon and Venus, which is very appropriate, as the moon is a very feminine symbol. And then Venus, right? And we talk about bringing love in, and Venus, the goddess of love. The constellations are Cancer and Pisces, and it is a water element. So that's why the leaves, you make tea, it nurtures your body, definitely a very water-oriented herb. If you're looking at the chakras, it is sacred to the sacral chakra, which is the chakra right around the uterine area. Based on some of the deities that it's associated with, of course, me being of Scandinavian descent, it was fun to find out that the deity associated with red raspberry was Freya, and Freya is the goddess of love. So that makes sense. From the Greek side, Hera is the goddess that it is associated with as well. So that's just a little bit of knowledge around red raspberry. And I hope everyone will, you know, next spring when they see them, when they start to see all the berries out in the stores, that they'll take a second look at red raspberry and plant that around their house.
That's wonderful. And the timing of this was really interesting, because I happen to know that raspberry likes to also plant itself where it's needed. When we first moved into the house that we live in now, we cleared some of our lot to put in a garage, and the cleared area around that garage filled in with raspberry canes almost immediately. And they were there for a few years until everything else kind of came in, and then they just, I guess their job was done. They went their own way. And just a couple weeks ago, our soon-to-be new neighbors, there's an empty lot next door that is being cleared for a house. And when they cleared the lot, then they had a little bit of a waiting period while they were waiting for them to get in and put the foundation in. And I went walking over there, and already there were these little tiny raspberry canes coming up. It was amazing how fast that happened. So it's like they're sitting there going, you know, oh, we're just waiting to be needed, and then we're just going to be there. So that's really awesome. And I'm so glad you brought that in. And it does feel very much like that rebirth that you mentioned, where it fills in and greens everything up really fast in a protective way, so that what else needs to come in has some time.
Raspberries are very representative of the three phases. So like you said, when the land is cleared, the maiden comes in, and, you know, plants herself in there and establishes herself. And then she goes into the mother stage where those second year canes and starts to produce fruit. And as she's doing that, she's laying the groundwork for all these protected plants underneath that normally can't handle all the direct sunlight that raspberries need in order to really grow and flourish. And as those plants start to establish themselves more and become larger, and the other plants have a chance to now grow in and the light lessens, then the mother turns to the crone and just kind of moves on to another location and does what she needs to do wherever she needs to do it. Mm. So very representative of all three phases, yes.
Excellent. And you just brought up crone again, and you were talking about some of the ways that red raspberry can support a woman's health. And I was just curious if you knew any ways that specifically it helps with that crone stage. Being a postmenopausal woman, this is of great interest to me.
So I said that it's slightly cooling. And there are some evenings when I just want to sit down with a nice cup of tea, but I've had my fill of mint tea. One can only drink so many cups of mint tea, and then it's like, I'd like something else. Raspberry leaf tea is wonderful, and you won't always find it in the store, but you don't need to find it in the store because you can go find it on the roadsides, or, you know, don't pick it right next to the roadside. You don't want those, but go in a little bit and pick the ones that are not right on top of the street. Or, you know, if you see them growing in your neighbor's yard or your soon to be neighbor's yard and it's appropriate for you to pick some leaves, I don't think they'll mind, but you should ask. Take some leaves. It doesn't take a lot. One or two branches clipped back, and that's plenty for some tea. And it does have that cooling effect. So you can have a warm cup of tea, or make yourself that cold iced tea out of the raspberry leaf instead of black tea, especially at night, because now you're not dealing with the caffeine, which the older you get, the more caffeine starts to affect you. And if you're anything like me, where you get these flushes of heat whenever, a cup of red raspberry iced tea is wonderful to cool you down. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Are there any other herbs that blend really well with that as far as, you know, flavor and in caring for ourselves?
Well, think about, you know, what you would add to black tea, or if you were making an herbal tea. Raspberry leaf tea doesn't have a huge distinct flavor to it. I mean, it tastes like a mild version of black tea. So you might want to add some elderberry leaf, or in my case, I do like to add mint to most of my teas. But anything really that you would use for whatever reason that you wanted to add some supportive other leaf in there. I'm working on growing my hair long, so I'm constantly drinking nettle tea. And, you know, nettle, a little mint in there to lessen the bitter blow of nettle. But now you've got raspberry leaf, which is anti-inflammatory, and you have nettle, which works very well against allergies. And then you add a little mint to kind of cut some of the bitter, and you've got a really nice, just general tea. And I call it my Rapunzel tea because it can make your hair grow at the same time. Well, it doesn't make your hair grow, but it does actually, you know, support good, positive hair and nail growth. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to tell people about what you're doing and, you know, all of your various things that you do?
So my focus right now is really looking at native and naturalized medicinal herbs that can support not just your health, but your mental well-being as well. We're all under a lot of stress, and, you know, the world is a stressful place. So anything that we can do to support our mental wellness and our, you know, health well-being is a positive in my book.
It sure is. And you know that I am all for well-being for all beings. And it sounds like Red Raspberry is actually providing that. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, thank you again for being here. And I'm looking forward to having you back next month.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.